This morning, we're going to carry on with our series that we started. We started the series a couple of weeks ago, about 6 or so weeks ago, and we've been looking at relationships. Relationships. Last week, we looked at something else because it was our Christmas, what was it called? Celebration. So I preached something else Christmassy at that point. So, but today we're carrying on. So, in looking at relationships, we've looked at a number of things. We've looked at life as a single person. How do you get married if you want to get married? So on and so forth. And we spent time looking at the role of the Christian husband. You know, what God expects from a Christian husband. Now we're looking at the role of the Christian wife. And this is the second part. But one thing that I just want to put out there that I've been putting up there every time we're about to talk about all these things about the role of the Christian husband, the role of the Christian wife. One thing I need to put out there is that, look, all these things that we are speaking about, they're not things that we are perfect at. In fact, I would say we're quite far away from what God expects from us sometimes. So, but the thing that we have to bear in mind is that this is something that God wants us to aspire to. But the wonderful thing is that God isn't expecting that we're just going to be able to do these things on our own strength. God wants us to realize that all these things that we speak about is God that will work them out in us. So our part is to just make up our minds that, look, I want to go in this direction. But we need to be aware that it's not a motivational speech that says, okay, this is what you should do, that's what you should do. And you leave this place and you're like, yeah, I want to be a great Christian wife. I want to be a great Christian husband. Pastor Benson, I said we should do this and this. And you now begin to give it a go. And 3 hours later, you realize, hang on, this thing isn't as easy as he said. And you say, you know what, maybe I'll just give up. No. So that's why I'm saying this isn't something that we work out in our own strength. God helps us with these things. But our bit is just to say, you know what, I want to go in that direction. So I just wanted to put that out there as a PS. So we're looking at the second part of the role of the Christian wife. I'll give us a recap of the points that we looked at the last time. So we said, number one, for the Christian wife, once you realize that as a wife, God has made you a helper for your husband. And I made a joke and I said, every man, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, we don't have to turn there, that God looked at Adam and said, it is not good for a man to be alone. He needs a helpmeet. He needs somebody to help him. I said, you know, in that period that you should look at one another and say, look at the person who's sitting next to you and say, all men need help. Particularly husbands. Husbands need help. And God was the one that recognized that at the beginning. So we looked at that. That God wants us to realize that the Christian woman, wife, is to help her husband. Because guys need help. Now, the second thing we also mentioned was that God wants every Christian woman, wife, to honor and respect her husband. Even if it doesn't seem like he deserves it. Someone pulled me across over some time ago and said, Pastor Benson, this is a woman, said, my husband doesn't deserve any respect. He's XYZ, 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 XYZ. And I looked at her and I said, look, what God is saying here is this. He's not saying when your husband behaves properly or he's worthy of respect, that's when you respect him. No, the Bible says whether he's worthy of respect or not, you respect your husband because God has asked you to do so. The same thing I said for the case of the man. We looked at the Christian man and we said God expects the Christian husband to love his wife, irrespective of whether she's lovable or not. Do you understand? So what I'm saying for both ends is that we as husbands are to love our wives irrespective of whether we think they deserve it or not. And in the same vein, for the Christian wife, you should honor and respect your husband, irrespective of whether he deserves it or not. Do you understand? Why? The Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand? So God is not asking us to do something that he hasn't given us an example of. So those days that you used to swear and use God's name in vain, and you know, oh my XXXXX, and you would say all sorts of things about God. God is, some people will even go as far as say God is wicked, God is this, God is that. But irrespective of the opinion that we had about God, the Bible says he disregarded that, all the opinions that we had, and he still died for us. Do you understand? So we looked at that. The other thing we also looked at is the fact that wives should submit to their husbands. And I said, well, we're in an egalitarian society that says, hang on, Pastor Benson, that is so archaic. How can you be saying a woman should submit to a... No. That's not what I mean. I don't mean men, husbands should be terrorists and get home and say, Pastor Benson said, submit. No. We're not saying that. What we're saying is this. I give an example that if you go to your office or you're working somewhere and you have a manager, your manager might be younger than you are. In fact, your manager might not be as intelligent as you are or as good as the work as you. But when your manager says, this is the direction that we're going in, can you do this? Or your employer, irrespective of what you think, not because you are less of a human being, but because in that context, they're providing leadership, you do what they say. All right. So we looked at those three things about the Christian wife. Today, we're going to look at three other things. If time permits, I'll finish them. But if not, it'll be another time. Now, the next thing I want to look at today is from Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. They'll project it on the screen. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And it says, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. I'll stop there. So this is saying, God said I should teach you guys, teach everybody that comes to church, that we've looked at the men, that the women ought to teach the younger women to a number of things. Let's go to verse 5 of that same Titus chapter 2, verse 5. Then I'll make the point. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. It says, to be self-controlled and to be pure, to be busy at home. Can you swap to the King James Version, please? Okay. It says, to be, about the women, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed. The part I want to look at there, in this first instance, is keepers at home. Keepers at home. Now, again, this might be one of those topics that one might say, hang on, this is the 20th century. This is not appropriate at this time. Now, the same way we described for the men, that men are, husbands are responsible for the home, for providing for the home. Do you understand? Even though the wife might help, the husband is responsible. Now, in the same way, in the same vein for the Christian wife, God expects that you're the one that keeps the home. You're a home keeper. Now, what does that mean? That means you're responsible for everything in the house, which means you should cook dinner for your husband and your kids. You should look after your kids, make sure they're well fed, make sure that they get what they need, they go to bed and all that in time. Your husband comes home, you should cook, make sure that the house is clean. And not only that, if you have daughters and sons, you should teach them how to keep the home as well. Do you understand? Now, someone might say, hang on, I'm a wife, I go to work the same time my husband goes to work, and I come back the same time my husband comes back from work. Are you saying that I should also be responsible for making sure the house is clean, making sure that dinner is all right and all that? Yes. That's what the Bible says. Do you know something, right? Someone might say that's on modern. Or is it immodern or not modern? It has nothing to do with being modern at all. It has just to do with what the Bible says. Now, do you guys know something I admire so much is about Margaret Thatcher, who's now passed on? I know she's been regarded as the Iron Lady. Depending on how old you are here, you might not really understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Margaret Thatcher. But the guys who and the women who are slightly older, she was, amen, she was termed Iron Lady. She was quite tough. She was the Prime Minister, by the way, if you don't know who Margaret Thatcher was. Do you know that even though Margaret Thatcher was ruling Britain at the time that things were so tumultuous, the labor, the trade unions were striking, there were all sorts of things happening. She was meeting with different heads of state, you know, running the whole country, everybody's making noise and all that. Do you know, every day when Margaret Thatcher got back home, do you know what she did? She went to the kitchen and cooked for her husband as the Prime Minister. Went to the kitchen, cooked dinner for her husband, made sure her husband was well fed as the Prime Minister. So anyone that tells me that, you know, I'm so busy, we go to work at the same time, that's not an excuse from the Bible's perspective. Now, we temper this a bit. Are we saying that the husband should just come home, put his leg up and say, dear, dinner, and I want chips, toast, fries, and while you're at it, fish, and I don't want that Sainsbury's fish, I want you to go down to River Avon, catch a fresh fish from the thing, and I'm giving you 30 minutes to do all this. Because Pastor Benson said you should be the keepers at home. Is that what I'm saying? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. Yes, the husband should be kind enough to help and volunteer their help. But let's not mix up the fact that there is something called responsibility and help. So, as a wife, you are responsible for the home. As a husband, you are responsible to provide. Do you understand? So we don't mix it up. Now, why am I saying this? It might seem like this is a no-brainer. But do you know that for a lot of young people now, I'm a young person myself, there's a thing where there's what I call a mix of responsibilities. Now, because people are shy to actually put their foot down and say, look, as a woman, this is what you need to do. Not because you're less. As a man, this is what you need to do. As a husband, people get married now, maybe they're in their 20s or whatever. And because there's this struggle of responsibility, the husband comes, the wife comes, the wife says, no, I'm not cooking. You were equal and go and get your dinner yourself. And the husband is saying, hang on, that's not how I understand it to be. And the wife says, what do you mean? I'm looking at this. The husband says, and back and forth. Why? Because there's no clear understanding of the responsibility. So you have people who are upset with one another. Why? They don't know what their roles are in the context of marriage. Do you understand? But the Bible is clear. And as we do these things, God will really ensure that we live in harmony. But saying that husbands too should, you know, help as well. You know what I mean? And if you're a husband and you can really, really cook like me,
are you laughing? You think I can't cook?
Did I say something funny there? I'm just telling you this. No, what I'm just saying is this. We need to help our wives as well. Do you understand? But responsibility lies where it lies. So that's the fourth thing that we're looking at. The other thing I want to look at is this. This is what I call communicating the right way. Communicating the right way. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm just going to paint a picture here about women, then about wives, but women. Women need to understand, and men need to understand, that the Bible says something about women. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, before I make the point. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, talking about women, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, when the Bible says weaker vessel here, referring to wives as weaker vessels, it's not talking about weaker in terms of how smart you are. What I'm saying here is this. When it's not saying weaker in terms of intellectual or, you know, how smart you are. In fact, there's some women that are stronger than men physically. So it's not about physical strength, but it's referring to something about women. And this is signifying that women are more emotional than men. So what am I saying? Women are emotional for a good reason. Now, God has made women emotional because they need to be. Can you imagine if women were not emotional and they give birth and they're like men and the baby is crying? It'd be like, what do you mean? I've fed you. I just fed you 3 minutes ago. Why are you crying, baby? That's men for you. Or the man is about to, they're about to go to church and the baby's all dressed up and the baby just says, mom, dad picks up baby and baby decides that 2 minutes to when they're meant to go to church, wheeze over the dad. Yeah, I mean, the mom will just say, you know, oh, baby has just weed, changed the baby. The man might not look at him, might be like, my goodness, on my suit. So what I'm saying is that women are emotional and women need to understand that you are emotional and there's nothing wrong with that. Men need to understand that as well. So it's not a sign of weakness. It's just how God has made women. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because realizing that women are emotional, women need to understand that they need to communicate in a way. They need to communicate what they mean the way they mean it. What did I say? Women need to understand. Wives need to understand that because you are emotional, you need to communicate what you mean the way you mean it. I give an example, I think a couple of weeks ago, about a pastor. And he said, this man was telling him that, you know what? I don't know what's wrong with my wife. He said, I went out this morning and I said, good morning. She said, good morning. We had nice breakfast and I went to work. And when I came back, as I got in back from work, my wife just came to me and said, let's assume the guy's name is Jack. Is anybody Jack here? Let's assume the guy's name is Jack. He says, I got back home and my wife just said, Jack, they've been married maybe 15 years or so. Jack, you've never loved me. From the very first day we got married, you don't love me. In fact, I think you hate me. Blah, 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 blah. And Jack looked and said, hang on. I just saw you this morning. What changed between the morning and now? And Jack was confused. But do you know what Jack's wife was really saying? She didn't mean that Jack didn't love her or hated her. What she was just saying is, Jack, you haven't been spending more time, enough time with me. Can you please spend more time with me, please? That's what she was saying. But because women are emotional, she expressed it in that way. So for her, in her mind, she's like, why is Jack annoyed? I've just told Jack that I need him to spend time with me. But Jack's looking and Jack's saying, hang on, this woman says, I hate her. All the things I've done. So we see here that because women are emotional, they need to like really think through what they want to say so that they can say what they mean the way they mean it. You understand? Now, the Bible tells us something in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So this is saying that this applies to everybody, but particularly for the women, that we should let our speech be seasoned with salt and with grace, which means that anytime we want to communicate something, let's communicate it in a way that is graceful, in a way that is respectful, bringing your emotions under control in communicating. You get that. So that's the fifth thing that I want to look at today. Now, the last thing I want to look at is something that I get asked sometimes. So what happens? Someone comes and they say, look, I'm a Christian wife. I love God. In fact, someone asked me that question almost yesterday. Really old person. She was talking about something, one or two things. So someone comes and they say, as a wife, Pastor, my husband is not a Christian. In fact, my husband doesn't like church at all. In fact, my husband doesn't like you, the pastor, as well. What do I do? Should I submit to a man like that? Should I just tell him to, should I just end the whole thing and just face God and, you know, and all that? Now, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. The Bible says something about this kind of scenario, and a lot of times you have it in that regard where I believe at least people have come across a proportion of people who are Christian and the other spouse is not. It's usually higher on the side of the women. You have more women I've come across whose husbands either are not Christians or are not interested in church at all. What do you do? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So this sister saying, whether your husband is a Christian or not, whether your husband loves God or he doesn't love God, and you're a Christian, the Bible says, because he's your husband, you still need to submit to him. You still need to submit to him and be respectful to him, even if he doesn't like God at all, even if he's not a Christian at all. And so the tension now comes here. Why should I do that? Why should I, a Christian wife, be submissive to a husband who has no care at all for God, who is not even a Christian? Because the Bible says you do it as unto Christ. As unto Christ. Now, the other thing here is this. The Bible says that a wise woman builds her house. The thing now comes that for you as for a woman who is in that context, that woman needs a lot of wisdom and might need to really take it easy. For example, if you come to church as a woman every Sunday and your husband doesn't like church, he's a self-professed atheist, what should you do? Before you leave home, this is just as an example, you know your husband eats lunch at 1 o'clock and he loves his lunch. Before you leave, what do? You make his lunch and say, darling, with a big kiss, I've made your lunch. I'll put it in the microwave. I'm going to be back just slightly later. So that he's not like, you've gone to church. What's this? This church. No. There are times that one's husband might say, you know what? Today is Sunday. You are not going to church today. You've been going to church every day, blah, 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 blah. What? How about me? Aren't you going to give me more time? What do you do as a woman in that context? Well, you can do a number of things. You can say, what? Telling me not to go to church? You are a heathen. Get out of the way. I'm off to church. You could take that approach. All right? But it's not going to do you too much good. Or you could take another approach, which is you go to the God who said that you should submit to your husband and say, God, you know, this is my husband. The guy is a really, I don't know, you know, can you please sort him out for me, please? Then you talk to God about that husband. Then to that husband who's doing that, you use what we looked at last week, what we spoke about last week, which is submission and respect, where you speak to God about this chap and you go to this guy and say, for example, there, you know, I love you and this is what God says we should do. I've made your lunch. I've made everything that you need. please let me just go to church. I'll come back as quickly as I can. Do you understand? And you give him a hug. Do you understand what I mean? If he still refuses, give him another hug and just take it from that angle. Do you understand? Do you know there are times that if, for example, I'm just saying this from a practical perspective. Now, there are times that a church has several meetings. We have, for example, our Bible study and we have the Sunday meetings. In the future, we might have more meetings. We might have prayer meeting and all these things. There are churches that, you know, if you have your building, that you could have meetings every day. It might be that as a Christian wife whose husband is not, has no desire for church. It might be that on one of those days that your husband says, you know what, do you have to go to church every day? You might say, okay, my dear, on Wednesday, maybe once in a while, we have a prayer meeting, but I won't go to that one. I will stay at home with you and we'll just, do you understand? So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because God wants us to realize that when all these things that he has said, submitting to our husbands, loving our wives, really the difference between someone who is a Christian obeying and the person who is not a Christian is this. For you as a Christian, God gives you the power to do these things. But for someone who is not a Christian, they don't have that power. But we still have to submit and still love them, whether they're lovable or not, with wisdom. Amen. The last thing about this is this. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 16. About the woman who her husband is not a Christian. It says here. Okay, NIV please. It says, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? So God is saying that, look, in a relationship where the husband or the wife are not Christians and one of them is, and one of them is really giving the other one a hard time, God says you need to exercise patience because you don't know if your presence in that house, being a believer, being submissive or loving your wife, is what God is going to use to touch the heart of your spouse so that they can become Christians as well. So what I'm saying is that God is interested in the life of that your husband or your wife that is not a Christian. And you might be the one that God's going to use. Do you understand? I remember there was someone that told me a story about this man. He got married. His wife, he became a Christian. His wife refused to be. And this man will be reading his Bible. And the wife will come there and say, what Bible are you reading here? Useless man. Kicked the Bible from his hand. Yeah, real life. And what did the guy do? Nothing. Just said, no problem. God bless you. And he endured. Just let it go. And at the end, God touched the woman. Do you understand? And things, you know, turned around. So what am I saying here? I'm just saying that God wants us to just have it at the back of our minds that for spouses who are not born again, husband and wife, we need to take it really easy with them because God is really interested in their salvation as well. And God will help us as we, you know, do this in Jesus' name. All right, I'm going to stop there today and I'll bring our relationship series to an end for this year. But I just want us to pray this morning